Last week, I woke up at like 4:30, and like, I think it's because I was on my couch and I rolled over and my computer was still on because I don't let it go to sleep when it like it, I turn that off when I'm rendering video, and I turned back over and there's this bright light and I started like dreaming of like running towards this bright light, and then I wake up and I'm like, am I dead? Oh no, it's just my
zombie
computer.
Apocalypse?
It's just my computer screen. I'm editing What the Puck still. That's right.
So, I was like, I woke up in the morning and I usually will check to see if there's any new podcasts to listen to. And I was like, wait, where's our... Oh, Brandon fell asleep.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the Puck!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck, and welcome to the Stanley Cup semifinals. The Capitals are moving on past the Islanders. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm feeling better now that the Capitals have gotten past Game 7. Happy they're moving on to the Rangers. But before we talk about Caps-Rangers, let's talk about the series that just passed, Caps-Islanders. I don't think either of us expected it to go to Game 7, but I'm very happy to see the Caps were able to come out on top. I'll just start off by saying this. I think the reason the whole thing going back to Game 1, the Capitals didn't really show up in Game 1. I think that's the main factor of why there was a Game 7. I feel as if this could have been put away a lot.
That and Game 6.
Yes, that
and Game
4.
4?
Yeah, 4. I was gonna bring this up as well. It was funny, the fact that you brought this up right before the Stanley Cup playoffs, about how there really isn't home ice advantage. I think this series kind of proved there definitely is a home ice advantage, because the Capitals had a huge problem in Nassau Coliseum. Of course, there's so much history with that place being the last series there. Officially, it's been closed down now, and the Islanders will be moving to Brooklyn. But definitely got to say, the sluggish manner the Caps started the series on gave the Islanders a way to stay alive. But also those fans up in New York, they definitely were able to give it to the Capitals, and the Capitals were never able to get a game going while they were playing up in the Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah, I mean, the Islanders fans, I think, aside from the ones that were being jerks, did a great job at sort of trying to keep the sort of the team going. And I think the Islanders played a phenomenal series. I think they did great. And I think someone brought this up on Twitter, and I think it was definitely part of the case that the Islanders sort of spent all of their energy just trying to keep themselves in it in Game 6. And that the fact that they only took 11 shots in Game 7, I think definitely told you what you needed to see in regards to how much energy they had left, and that the Islanders were just dead. They were just dead tired. I mean, they got one goal to tie up that game, which was a fluky goal that Holtby gave up. So I think the Capitals definitely came out and dominated Game 7. I think the Islanders gave it everything they had, but I think injuries and exhaustion sort of played a part in the fact that the team just didn't have enough to be able to get by the Capitals, who more or less dominated every moment of that game last night.
They absolutely did. Game 7 was definitely the Caps game. They dictated how that game was going to be played. And I feel as if that is why I'm blaming that Game 1 sluggish start to keeping the Islanders alive. The Capitals are not a team, apparently, that can start strong. They can definitely withstand an entire game. They might not play a full 60 minutes, but when push comes to shove, they can withstand 60 minutes of hockey. The key to the Caps Islanders was getting that first point, that first goal, and the Capitals were able to control the puck most the majority of the game for Game 7, and they were able to really dictate where that game was going to go, and it was 0-0 for the longest time, then 1-1, and then the hero of Game 7, maybe the whole series, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, comes off with that beautiful, maybe one of the best Stanley Cup playoff goals in Capitals history from Yevgeny Kuznetsov to give the Capitals the lead in Game 7. What is your thought here? What What was your mind going through when Kuzi was able to get that second goal?
Excitement?
A little bit.
I think I wasn't really paying attention to the game. I'm serious. Like, that was amazing. But the goal, when I went back and watched it again, it wasn't so much a thing of skill per se as intelligence. Like, he waited for the player to come at him, and I watched it a couple of times, and then he makes his move. He waits for the player to get in close, and knowing that he's faster than the Islander player that was on him, he then makes the move to go past him. He gets around a couple of guys, but it wasn't like he made a bunch of moves. He just kept skating out to the side. He got away from everybody enough, and then he was able to get a great shot on that. That definitely was where the skill came in, and being able to control the puck, keep it with him. But it wasn't like he faked a bunch of people out. He just outskated them. He outworked them. Found himself in a good spot to take a little bit of a tough angle shot and got it in. And I thought he played a great year. I think Kuznetsov is definitely – this was his opportunity to sort of put his name out there. And I think he did a phenomenal job throughout the series. He took over game five. Was it game five where he got 3 points?
Yeah, that was
game
five.
I mean, he had the 2 goals. He's been playing amazing. I think he is the second-line center the Capitals have been looking for since they had Sergei Fedorov. And I think he's their guy going forward. And I think he's been doing a great job on that second line. And if he can get some of the other guys to keep up with him, then he'll be even better.
Yeah, and it's crazy to see the guy coming from the KHL getting adjusted to the NHL style of play. Here's a guy who started off kind of sluggish. He was actually competing with Andrei Burakovsky for that second line center spot and lost it in the very beginning. He was even being scratched for a couple games, so he could kind of see it from up top in the press box. But really, really showing the progress he has made in this sport. He is a great asset to the Capitals. And I posted it out there on Twitter and Facebook. That dude was definitely worth the wait. Took him, 5 years to get here? But now that he's here, I'm definitely very confident with his play and what he can do. And, we may not be able to understand a lot of the stuff he says, but we all speak hockey. And he speaks that very fluently. And that goal, I was so excited with that goal because, watching the game, I was just kind of like, he's still got that puck. What is he going to do? Is he going to try to wrap around? And then he takes that last second shot, and it pays off. And we've seen him kind of do that in the past where he holds onto the puck as long as he can and, like you said, outworks the other player against him. And this is definitely one of his best skills. This is a huge, huge asset to the Capitals, his skill, what he's bringing to the team, it's all good things for the Caps.
Yeah, I mean, well, of course it is. It's having good players cannot hurt. The problem, I think, with this team right now, and something that's going to be going forward into the offseason, whenever that may be, is finding line mates for him that can keep up. And I got to wonder, with the fact that Burakovsky, who ended up replacing Glenn Cross, and I'm sure we'll talk about him in a moment, that Burakovsky ended up staying in. I got to wonder if next season Burakovsky and Kuznetsov can end up on a line together, provided that one of these guys can keep consistently put the puck in the net. But if you have guys that can keep up and keep with him and have just, at least close to the amount of skill that he has and be able to receive the passes he's got, then that the Capitals' first and second lines are going to be very dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when Andrei Burakovsky was first drafted, you and I were talking about a line of Kuzi, Burakovsky, and I think it was Forsberg, those three on a line, and just how crazy of a line that would be. I would love to see, like, again, we bring this guy up, and he's one of maybe the top three stars of this series, but Tom Wilson, he's a young guy.
He's got no offense. He just hits people.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I don't think he can keep up with those two. But I remember, at least when he got drafted, there was a possibility of us saying, like, maybe if Kuznetsov came over and Burakovsky was there, we could see Wilson, Burakovsky, and Kuzi on the same line. But yeah, like you said, he doesn't have the speed, doesn't have like the offense there, but, he definitely has done. Let's just jump on to talk about Tom Wilson a little bit. He made major headlines this series.
I know where you're going with this.
Well, no, he absolutely did. But like he agitated the Islanders. He got under their skin, and he became a target for the Islanders. Absolutely.
Okay, I thought you were going to bring up the fact that he leveled Vishnovsky, and everyone was like, "That's a penalty, illegal." I was like, "No, it's not."
That was 100% illegal hit.
He stayed on the ice. Shut up, Okposo.
Yeah, I can understand the Islanders getting upset, but that was a legal hit. It was a good hit, and that's one of the reasons why we all like Tom Wilson. He's a big dude that he's just gonna run you over. But let's talk about, you know, going from the regular season to the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is what, his second Stanley Cup playoffs, when he kind of was a Whaler, yeah, and then a Bear and then a Capital, all within one season.
That was an intense season for him.
But the
you game... thought you were going to get a break? Nuh-uh, kid. You're playing a lot. And Wilson, I thought he did a great job. He's going out. He's playing physical. He's hitting everybody, yeah, in sight. The thing is, that's his game right now. I need, you know, eventually we want to start seeing more offense from him. Otherwise, it's going to be a waste of a first round pick.
Yeah, he's definitely got some work to do, but I think this is.
So what is he, like 19, 20?
I think he's 20. I think he just turn 20?
Well, he's still got plenty of time before he needs to go out and show everyone what he can do offensively.
But yeah, yeah.
I think right now he's doing good. I think he needs to bring a little more offense. He's getting a little better at it. You can see that he's starting to click a little bit offensively, but he's not anywhere near where the Caps would need him to be on a first or second line. But my real thing, I'm curious for Tom Wilson, is can he progress to being on that third line next year, potentially with Fair and whoever's on the line with them?
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what he does. I want to say this is some of his best hockey he's ever played. The game where he, you know, got hit in the head with a puck, I think that was probably his best game to date. But he's definitely showing that he's got some longevity here in this series.
Maybe that smacks some sense into him.
Maybe. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Glenn Cross. We talked about it last week about how I didn't like the fact that he was scratched and how it looks like he might not be a part of this team next year. But lo and behold, Trotz decides to play the guy I think he played in game 6 as well, right? It wasn't just game 7.
No, it was just game 7.
Was it just game 7?
He replaced Lotta for game 7. I thought it was, first of all, let's talk about the fact that my sister just calls him Glenn Cross. She knows his name. First, she thought the guy's legitimate name was Glenn Cross. Right. Now she knows it and still does it because Sarah's an idiot. But I think that he came in. He had a great opportunity, and he flubbed the shot. And you could just see, like, the agony on his face. I think there's a chance he comes back next season. I don't anticipate it anymore. I don't think necessarily he got benched. I mean, Trotz came out and said that Glenn Cross hadn't been playing his game recently, and this goes back into what they said, maybe 10 or 15 games into the last few games of the regular season, and that Glenn Cross knew it as well. He got off his game, and, you know, you'd asked me, I think, last week, as it was a wake-up call, and I said, you don't do that in the playoffs, but maybe it was. Maybe Trotz did give him a wake-up call and was like, look, buddy, you need to go back to playing the way you play. And I think Lachlan was one who said it was north-south hockey and getting up and down the ice and things like that, and Glenn Cross wasn't doing that. And I thought he's played well for the team, but – yeah, you talked about it last week, and his scoring has definitely gone down since he was first acquired, and you want to see that go back up. And I think if he's playing against the Rangers, he'll be an asset. And you kind of got to wonder if he's going to start pushing too much, and that's where you start making mistakes, and you start gripping the stick too tight, and you start missing shots because you're overdoing it as opposed to playing your game in the way you should be playing that would be best for the team. And so there's a little bit of a concern with Glenn Cross, but I like the guy, and I wouldn't mind seeing him come back depending on some of the other moves they make next season.
Yeah, I would like to see more from him before we kind of make the decision on whether or not he'll stick around. But I found this really interesting. It was during the third period, and I think it was Joe B. who brought it up. But for a guy that was a healthy scratch for a couple games in the Stanley Cup playoffs, he comes back into game 7, and Trotz is giving him crazy amounts of time on the ice. I believe they said Glenn Cross had more time on the ice in Game 7 than Wilson and Lotta combined did in Game 6. So, obviously...
Well, because he's not a bad player.
No, yeah, absolutely. But so, obviously, Trotz sees something in him, and he's got skill, and he's a veteran, and he's a good hockey player. But it was... It was interesting to see, like, all right, you scratch the guy, but now you're giving him ample amounts of time. Maybe it's like, you know, Take a game or two, see what we're playing from up top, come back and bring what you learned from there. And maybe Trotz has given him the time to figure out what's going on with his footwork, his stick work, and being able to figure that out. Given Stanley Cup playoffs, probably not the time to do that, but...
Maybe not.
Yeah, but something...
No, he doesn't have any other time to do it,
though. That's true. But something is working with him.
And he is a better player for the team than Michael Lotta. And it's not a shot at Lotta, but Lotta's kind of one-dimensional at the moment. He doesn't really put the puck in the net, not that Glenn Cross has been either lately, but Glenn Cross, I think he's got more speed, he's got more offensive skills and opportunities that he's going to present for himself and the rest of the team, and I think that's why he played him over Lotta, because as good as Lotta has been, you're not going to play him over Beagle, you're not going to play him over Glenn Cross, and you're apparently not going to play him over Burakovsky, so he's going to sit. The question is, when Fair gets healthy, who sits?
That's I'm sure Burakovsky gets sent back down at that point.
That well, Hershey. I mean, they're doing really well, but they could. That would help them out a lot. And I don't know. I mean, Burakovsky looks like he's been playing really well, and I think he's going to be on this team next season, no matter what.
Yeah, I would assume
that
so.
That would be my guess.
I would assume next season he'd be there, but I can see him being sent down once if Fair comes back. I don't know what the timetable is for him. But I'd love to see Fair back. You know, he's a great
asset.
I didn't
see anything on Twitter today about Fair. Did they practice today?
I think today was a day off.
So tomorrow we might learn more about Fair.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on there. So anything else you think we should talk about for the Islanders series?
Suck it, Clutterbuck. And Cizikas? When I kept hearing his name, I did not think that it was spelled with a C at first. I thought it was like Z-I-K. I don't know, but it was definitely interesting spelling. But yeah. No, I mean, look, the Islanders played a great series. They did a great job. Their physicality, I think that the lack of healthy bodies in the defensive end definitely did them in the end, and the fact that they had to keep guys out there longer than they wanted to. And I think that's what cost them in the end. I thought Halak played his save. Beagle, so close.
Oh,
where
man.
He just went awkward off the boards.
Yeah.
That's a, like, given a lot, if Beagle had put it a little higher, that's going in the net. But I thought Halak played very well. He didn't steal the series like he did against the Capitals and Montreal.
True.
But I thought Halak played a great series. I thought, you know, the Islanders played a great series, and they're not quite there yet, but they're going to be a team to reckon. I mean, they're leading the Metropolitan for a decent portion of last season. They're going to be a team, a very talented team going into next season.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I think they'll definitely be back in the playoffs.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the video, but they mic'd up Ovechkin and he was going through the line, and it was nice to see him get a hug from Nuvi as well, you know, at the end of the handshakes.
Yeah, him and Holpe had a nice little moment too.
Yeah, yeah. So that was really cool and cool
like,
to
hey,
see.
Buddy.
Can you just imagine if you're Nuvi? I wanna be traded because I don't want to be a backup. And here he is once again losing.
Being a backup.
Being a backup and Holpe's playing.
I don't know how he was doing in Buffalo. My dad's a Sabres fan. He was not a big fan. So that's interesting. Maybe he wasn't doing as well as he should have been doing, and maybe that's why he's not a starter right now. But I don't know. I don't know his contract situation, but if he's going in the offseason as a potential free agent, I wonder if the Islanders would bring him back.
Yeah, I don't know. If he's cheap enough, maybe. All right, so let's move on. Let's talk about Caps Rangers here.
Again.
Obviously, these two teams, they know each other pretty well in the playoffs.
Yeah, probably could put it that way.
I believe every time the Capitals have been in the playoffs, they've faced the Rangers in some way. I remember a couple of years ago, our mutual friend Phil and I, we went to a Caps Rangers playoff game, and that was the game that Tortorella decided to try to get one of the Caps fans. And by,
I remember that. That was awesome.
Yeah, by poking them with a stick through the glass.
Oh, I missed Tortorella.
Yeah, I was there for that game. That was quite the experience to be there for that one. But
is he doing a commentary for like TSN now?
I think so. Yeah, because he was in Vancouver and then he lost that job. Oh, well. So I don't think he's doing any more coaching.
He was a good coach, but he alienated players so quickly. But that was pretty funny. But yeah, we got the Rangers again, which means more. Well, they never Nash last time, but now, you know, it's more of Lundqvist. They have Martin St. Louis, who is apparently, I was hearing on the radio today, I think they had, who was on the radio? It might have been Roenick. He was on with the Junkies this morning. No, someone else in the afternoon was talking with some of the other guys on 106.7 The Fan, and they were talking about how St. Louis was very quiet in their series against the Penguins. And so, you know, you got to wonder if he's going to show up. And if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. I'm fine with that. If he wants to take the series off, go ahead. Because when he's on, he is damn scary. The Rangers are a very talented team. They're different than the Islanders. They're not necessarily going to try and beat you up and down the ice, but they are going to be able to play a great game, and they're going to block a lot of shots, and they have one of the best goaltenders in the league, and they're a very good team, and it's going to be a different series, but I kind of wonder if it's going to open up a little bit for the Capitals offensively, just in terms of the fact that they're not going to be getting hit every half a second that one of the guys has the puck.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens, because
they're going to get hit. I hit that hard.
Yeah.
You don't have Clutterbuck and Cizikas and Martin and Okposa running around hitting people and then crying when someone hits one of their players.
Yeah, this is a very different team than the Islanders. And like we said, the Capitals and the Rangers know each other very well in the playoffs, but these are two very different teams than the last time they've met in the Stanley Cup playoffs. New coaches, new players, all that good stuff on both sides, really. But the biggest concern coming into any season or any season and any series with the Rangers is Lundqvist. I mean, he's the king of New York. He, like you said, he's one of the best goalies. I want to say one of the best goalies of all time in the NHL. He,
I don't know if I go that far.
He's, you know, when you see his name come up, you're like, good Lord, what are we going to have to do this game? I think this series is going to be a very low scoring game, probably a lot of 2-1s, because Holtby and Lundqvist, they've met in the past, but, this is where the big question mark for the Capitals comes. It came throughout the entire regular season, secondary scoring. We've seen what Kuznetsov can do. We saw what Glenn Cross could do when he was first brought in. But it's got to be other guys besides Ovechkin. I know the Rangers know Ovechkin well. They know what he's going to do. The Islanders definitely scouted Ovechkin in this series. But the Rangers, they know how to play. They know how to take guys like Ovechkin out of consideration and kind of take their skills away. So really, I think getting the Lundqvist and getting those dirty goals and getting the secondary scoring going is how you beat the Rangers this time around.
I just got to take a lot of shots. And as we talked about last week, you put those shots on net, not next to the net, not above the net, on it. And they did that last night at the beginning of the game where they kept taking shots and they would go wide. And I was like, oh my God, here we go again. They're going to lose this game because no one can find the net with the puck. Not even hit the net. Hit the goalie at least. Do something. And that was one of the things. Somebody pissed me off last night. I think it was Chimera, I want to say, where he took a shot from a bad angle. And this drives me crazy when they do that because odds are it's not going to go in. But if you do that, put it on the opposite side of the goalie so the rebound goes out into the middle or to a player on the other side. But if you put a shot out to the side you're already on, it's going to come right back out to the bad angle, and you're not going to have a better shot on net. But they do. So somebody last night, and I got really pissed off. But I think with the Rangers series, you just crash the net. I think it's going to be very good. Secondary scoring is always going to be key. I think Holtby's going to have to keep playing great. You can't give up garbage goals like you did last night on that one to Franz Nielsen. The defense has got to step up and play a little bit better than they've been doing. I don't think they can get away with those. Like the Islanders, was it the game-winning goal? Yeah. The second goal they had in game 6 where no one covered the middle of the ice.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
And so it was like, guys, somebody help out the goalie. And they just left him wide open. It was ridiculous. So they've got to definitely start playing better, a little bit better. They got definitely a tougher opponent here. They got the Rangers have better offense, better defense, a better goaltending. But that's what happens. If you want to go win the cup, you're going to play better teams as you go on through. And so it's definitely going to be a tough series. The Rangers are the President's Trophy winning champions or whatever the terminology may be for that nonsense.
And the Capitals know winning the President's Trophy doesn't mean a damn thing.
It doesn't mean anything. It does not mean a damn thing in terms of your ability to win the cup. In the every year, the Kings have won it. They're what, like the 6th or 7th or 8th seed?
Yeah.
So it's all about just playing your game, playing it well, and taking advantage of the situations you're put in and stopping the other team from taking advantage of theirs.
All right, so throughout the regular season, the Capitals definitely had a hard time with the Rangers. But I think
but that's subjective,
right? Yeah, but with their last game though,
that one, it's really the Rangers won this. It was 4 games. They won the series 3-1, but it was really like 2-1 because that last game the Capitals clearly had zero interest in actually, playing hockey that night. Potentially, if we just want to nitpick a little bit about the fact that if you want to win, you got to put the puck on the net. Just thinking out loud here, fellas. So that's my personal view on the situation, in that it's a little subjective in the fact that the Capitals didn't show the last one. But the Rangers played very well against them, but the Capitals were able to go into Madison Square Garden, get a big win the third game. And earlier in the season, we saw the Capitals struggled a little bit with sort of finding their identity. So I think it's definitely going to be different teams. And I mean, as we saw, it's not quite the same thing, but as we saw in the NBA, the Toronto Raptors were able to dominate the Wizards in the regular season, and then the Wizards just swept them.
The Wiggles? The I think so that's like a kid's show.
The Wiggles, they helped out. They were there.
All right.
The Wizards were at the Paul Pierce and John Wall and Marcin Gortat, and I don't know who the last guy was. I apologize. They were at the game last night. Did you see Paul Pierce banging on the glass?
I saw that, yeah.
That was very funny. I was like, that dude's awesome. He's such like a troll sometimes, but not troll, but like he likes to troll people. He did it to the Raptors a bunch. Then again, they started it, or the newspapers really started it up in Toronto. And so I thought it was pretty funny. They start banging on the glass, and I was just like, really? Like, you're one of those fans, but it's kind of funny because he's just doing it to be annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you see that these teams play great in the regular season, and then, you know, maybe one team struggles with them, and then in the playoffs anything can happen.
And here's something that
we shall see.
We will definitely see. But here's something I think the Capitals at least have a leg up on with the Rangers. The Rangers were able to get rid of the Penguins. They went to Game 5. They did, you know, the Penguins had one win. So the Rangers have had some time off. They've been off the ice competitively, except for practice or whatever, for a couple days, about a week or so. But the Capitals, they've never lost that mindset of, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I think that the Islanders were able to take the Capitals to Game 7 because they were a better team than the Penguins this year, especially. So I think that the fact that they've gone to Game 7, they've been up against a tougher opponent than the Rangers have been this year. I kind of feel as if that's a coup for the Capitals because they've been on the ice more. They've had a more competitive style of play than they did up against the Penguins, and ultimately that's gonna help them in the end. I think
it can both help and hurt. I think it can help the Capitals in the sense that there's no rust that the Rangers may potentially have, being they haven't played in a longer period of time. But anybody that's sore or needed a couple extra days of rest, maybe more than just the 2 days they're gonna have off, they're not gonna get it. And so you kind of have to wonder if that's going to be a problem in terms of guys not being able to get healthy. I know a couple of guys, you know, Farrah's been banged up. He hasn't been playing. And you have to wonder if anybody else is sort of have a little bit. I mean, it seemed like Orpik was hurt at first, but it's just his skate blade broke.
Yeah, skate.
I was just like, no, that is so bogus if that's how this ends, with they get a goal or something off of a skate blade broke. But, like, you know, Carlson had to help him off, and I thought that was nice. And you see, I mean, Orpik was hurt earlier in the series, and, you know, these kind of things happen where guys get hurt, and the extra time can help to some extent, but they can also hurt you in terms of your rust and having to get that off. So I think the first 10 minutes on Thursday night in Madison Square Garden is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have released a schedule for the games. We'll go over that at the end of the show. But it's going to be a fun one. The Capitals, the Rangers, they're kind of new to each other this time around because they're different teams. But the Capitals know that building. The Rangers definitely know the phone booth. This is going to be a fun series. This is kind of like, you know, like the reimagining of a version of a movie. This is like, you know, Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Just, here we go again.
So here we go again.
So tired of playing the damn Rangers. Go away! No, it's so repetitive. And like, oh, good, we're playing the Rangers again. But, you know, if you want to be able to get to the Stanley Cup, you have to be able to beat the best teams, and the Rangers are the best team in the regular season. It kind of makes sense that you have to go through them to be able to get to where you want to be.
Absolutely. So
I think the Capitals have a shot. There's no question about it. It's just a matter of if they play well enough. And if they play better defensively, these are not the same teams, even though some of the same players remain, a decent amount of the same players remain. These are not the same teams that faced each other 2 years ago. So the Capitals, they play a different style than they did before, sort of the Rangers. Was it Vigneault coaching them at that time? Wait, hold on. Tortorella didn't coach last? Yeah, it was Vigneault. So the Rangers would play the same way, but they have some new players, and the Capitals have new players, and they have a new system, and it's gonna be an interesting series, no question about it.
I will make a prediction here. I definitely think it will go to Game 7 again.
God, I don't know if my heart can take it.
I think it's going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth the entire series. But I can see it going to Game 7.
Did you see the Rangers' little shot at the Caps on Twitter today?
Is there a no Caps rule now that I saw?
It was something like crap. What was it again? They said something, and it wasn't like they didn't take a shot at them in the message. They just didn't use any capital letters. It's like, here we go again, or so we meet again.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that, and it was all in lowercase letters. And at first, I didn't even get it. And I was like, oh, well played. That's actually pretty clever. Like, you can't get mad. You're kind of almost like, I gave you a slow clap. Like, that was actually pretty clever. Like, well done, guys.
The NHL Twitter teams.
Did you see the guys with the Stars?
The Stars and the Flyers and the Jets.
That was so funny.
That was great.
The guys who won the Stars and the LA Kings ones are... Those guys are amazing. And then I wish the Caps guys are more like them. And then the fact that the Penguins guys didn't respond, and then the Flyers' response to it, about how they would like give everybody a ride, but the Penguins will have to find their own way there.
Yeah.
I thought it was a brilliant end to their conversation. It was so funny.
Wonderfully done. Wonderfully
done. It was so dumb, but it was very funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was like well played all around everyone. It was very good.
All right. So anything else we should cover in Caps World?
How about we get a little props to Ovechkin? He may not have had the numbers that everyone expected him to have in the series against the Islanders, but I thought he was great. I think defensively he did a great job, and he kept the Islanders players focused on him, which I thought freed up room for everybody else. It gave everybody else the opportunity. Now, to some extent, you would have liked to see him do more on the power play, but the Islanders spent most of their time when they were on the penalty kill shadowing Ovechkin, so it gave everybody else the opportunity, and they didn't take advantage. I know Troy Brouwer had plenty of opportunities on the power play. He had one, I think, in Game 7 where he was right in front of the net, and he messed up the shot, and you get these opportunities, you got to take advantage. When teams are going to shadow Ovechkin, that frees up an opportunity for everybody else to be open or to have more of a spot. And so I think we give a shout out to Ovechkin. I thought he played him and Backstrom. I thought both played a great series. A lot of the guys did. I mean, Ward had a great series. His goal last night, put his butt in front of the net, and he found the puck a la Mike Knuble and shoved in the back of the net. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be the guy going forward to be on that first line, but if he can keep playing the way he has been, he can be the new Mike Knuble.
Yeah, I think he might be earning that spot right now.
I mean, I think so. He's a free agent in the offseason, so that'll be interesting to see. Is he a free agent?
Yeah, I believe
he's out of the contract. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't imagine any other team's going to overspend for him necessarily. So, I mean, the Caps can get him back. If they could bring down his cap hit and bring him back, it's not a bad move on their part.
Talking about bringing people back, if he's the right price, I've loved this pickup from that trade. But to bring Gleason back, I would be very happy to see him stay on this team.
This is more talk for the offseason stuff. Right. But this is my question there. Is like, if we have Gleason back, then what happens with Orlov?
He might be taking my Green spot. Who knows?
Mm-mm. I think Green comes back.
I would hope so, but we'll see what happens. I mean, money
I'm
talks.
I'm calling it now. I think he's back.
Money talks, man. I don't know.
Now I think I just jinxed it.
Yeah, way to go.
as I did for another organization, which I will apologize later.
This has been a great series for the Capitals. It's had its up, it's had its down, but the team overall very impressed, except for that first game where everyone just kind of came out like, oh, who cares? It's game one. But besides that, I've been very.
We don't want to play.
Yeah, when it comes down to when they got to play, especially in a game seven type experience like we've had, everybody kind of showed up on this team, and I was very impressed with them. So, very happy to be a Caps fan right now, and very happy to move it on to the semifinals. And let's see if we can get over this hump. You know, this is where the Capitals have kind of been stuck the last 7 to 8 years. You know, getting over that hump past the semifinals. Let's keep moving forward.
Twice.
I think so. Yeah,
Got swept by the Lightning, and got beat by the Penguins.
Got beat by the Penguins, and wasn't it after they beat Boston? Wasn't it the Rangers? And then they lost.
Yeah,
the
they
Rangers.
Got beat by the Rangers. So Rangers, Penguins, and Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so let's get over that hump, boys.
Good times. Good times.
All right. So are we done in Caps World? Can we move on?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, cool.
Nothing else to talk about. Bye, Islanders.
Have fun.
Have fun in Brooklyn with a better arena.
With a great arena and plenty of hipsters. Get ready to grow a handlebar mustache, boys. Way to go, Islanders. Way to go. And you'll love craft beer. It's really good stuff. Anyway.
What the hell are you talking about?
The Brooklyn is filled with hipsters. Do you not watch any television ever? Like, that's like hipster heaven. That's like Hamden in Baltimore.
All you watch is, like, reality shows?
No, I don't watch reality shows.
I watch Skype.
Like Two Broke Girls. I watch that one or whatever. That's fine.
All right, moving on. Moving on.
We're going to take a quick break, and you'll hear a little message from the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and then we'll be back with Down on the Farm. So here we come. Here's the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. It's not just the Capitals in the playoffs than the postseason. The Hershey Bears and the South Carolina Stingrays are staying busy. Danimal House, what's going on down on the farm?
That doesn't fit.
It's close enough. Animal House, Danimal House.
No, I got it.
Toga. No? Nothing? All right.
Not playing along. All right, moving on.
Sorry.
Hershey started their playoff series against Worcester, winning both games by a score of 4-1 and 3-1. They are doing this without leading goaltender Philip Grubauer, who was with the Capitals but was reassigned today back to Hershey, as well as they have been without captain Steven Oleksii, who was injured in game one. So is it Phoenix or Phoenix, however you say that guy's name? Copley's been playing great, apparently, as has the rest of the team. The Bears can clinch their first-round best of five on Wednesday at the Giants Center.
Like today? Oh, no, today's Tuesday.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, they today's Tuesday. Tomorrow. We usually record on Wednesday, so I'm all confused.
We're moving around, man.
I'm so confused. I will say it was kind of funny on the Caps subreddit. Somebody posted something from PennLive.com, and it was a quote from the Hershey Bears coach who was like, "Yeah, we keep calling about Grubauer, and we just keep getting straight to voicemail. We'd like to know if he's coming back soon."
Well, you know what? We needed to borrow him for a little while, which kind of makes you wonder. Maybe they're just sending him down honestly for Wednesday, and then they'll recall him after the game.
Well, no, Grubauer got sent down today, so, I mean, they know what's going on now.
I think they're going to bring him. Well, I wonder if they'll bring him back for when they start the Caps start the series against the Rangers.
Maybe, but I think they'll.
I think clearly that means the end of Peters in Washington after the season.
Oh, that poor guy.
Yes. But anyways, down in South Carolina, the Stingrays are up 3-2 in their series against the Reading Royals. Game six is actually going on as we speak, and last I checked, the Royals were up 3-1, unfortunately, so it looks like they'll be going to a game seven in South Carolina on Wednesday.
Actually, if I'm reading this correctly, I'm on their Facebook page. Yeah, 2 minutes ago, it says two periods in the books, and we trail the Reading Royals 5-1.
Now it's 5-1, so it looks like we're definitely going into game seven on Wednesday night against the Royals. In South Carolina. So unfortunately, we're able to come out and get it tonight, but hopefully they can tomorrow so they can move on in their quest for a Kelly Cup championship. But yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
If they're playing on Friday up in Reading, man, we should have went up for that game. That for a game seven in the ECHL, that has to be pretty fun.
No, dude, game seven's on tomorrow.
Ah, I don't know days very well. All right, that's pretty cool. Go Bears, go Stingrays, bring home a Kelly Cup. And what's the AHL one? Why am I blanking on that? What's the AHL trophy?
The Calder.
Calder Cup. I knew that. I'm trying to trick everybody out there in podcast land. I'm not an idiot, I swear.
Nice cover.
All right, so that's it for Down on the Farm. Now we're going to go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL, the Stanley Cup playoffs, now in the semifinals. I think there's only one game left to figure out who's going on to the semifinals.
Uh-huh. But
there's lots of stuff going on around the NHL. I'm sure somebody still in the Stanley Cup playoffs is injuring other people or something. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
We're going to start with some news from the past week in the NHL, where Detroit's Nicholas Cronwall has been suspended for one game, that being game seven. On Wednesday, for charging Tampa Bay's Nikita Kucherov, Cromwell kept skating. His left arm was partially out. It was dumb, and he will sit out game seven. It was a bad play by Cromwell, and he may end up costing his team in the end.
Oof.
LA's Drew Doughty, Ottawa's Erik Karlsson, and Montreal's PK Subban, were named finalists for the Norris Memorial Trophy awarded to, and I quote, the best defense player who demonstrates throughout the season the greatest all-around ability in the position. Minnesota's Devin Dubnyk, Montreal. Every time I say it, I'm thinking dubstep. Montreal's Carey Price and Nashville's Pekka Rinne were named finalists for the Vezina Trophy, awarded to, and I quote again, the goalkeeper judged to be the best at his position. No love for Holtby there, apparently, even though he had one of the best seasons by a goaltender in the NHL, but that's okay. Keep him on the back burner and let him keep playing his game without having all this press in his face. Florida's Aaron Ekblad, Calgary's Johnny Drio, I have no idea how to say his name, Gaudreau, and Ottawa's Mark Stone, his name's easy to say, were named finalists for the Calder Memorial Trophy awarded to, and I quote again, the player selected to be the most proficient in his first year of competition. A little surprised to not see Nashville's Philip Forsberg on that list.
Yeah, that's kind of shocking.
A little shocked. Now let's go over to some more news where Peter Chiarelli, who was fired by Boston as the Bruins general manager, he was not unemployed for very long as he is now the president of hockey operations and general manager of the Edmonton Oilers. First, they got the rights to the first pick in the NHL draft, and now a solid president and GM. You got to watch out for the Oilers in the next couple of years. They may be a damn good team. And finally in the news, longtime NHL defenseman Hal Gill has retired after 16 seasons in the NHL. The former eighth-round pick by Boston played 1,108 games in the league with Boston, Toronto, Pittsburgh, Montreal, Nashville, and Philadelphia. He finishes his career with 36 goals on 184 points and 962 penalty minutes. Gill won a Stanley Cup with Pittsburgh, boo, in 2009 and represented the U.S. five times at the IIHF World Championship. That's the news for the past week in the NHL. Let's move on to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, before you do that, real quick, I found it very funny that Sidney Crosby is playing for Team Canada at Worlds. He's usually stayed away from that tournament, but he's going this year.
He has an earlier exit than usual.
That's true, and he's in full health, which he hasn't been in the last couple of years, but Crosby going to Worlds.
He's going, Malkin's going, and I feel like I read on Twitter today that the captain for the U.S. team is none other than Matt Hendricks.
What? Really?
Let me double check that, but I'm pretty sure I read that today.
Yeah, and if you enjoy international hockey, I'm a huge fan. I love watching the international
games. Did you post it that they're going to have the games?
All the USA games on NBC Sports.
Yeah. So you'll be able to watch some of the games.
Yeah. I'm very excited for that. That should be a lot of fun. I love watching that.
Huge congrats to Oilers forward Matt Hendy. That's his Twitter name. Matt Hendy 26, who is wearing the C for USA Hockey at the 2015 IIHF Worlds.
Wow. Good for Matt Hendricks.
USA. Yeah, who cares? Okay, let's move on to the Stanley Cup playoffs, where in the East, the Rangers knocked out Pittsburgh in five games. Montreal knocked out Ottawa in six, and Detroit and Tampa Bay will go to Game 7 on Wednesday night to see who will go on to face Montreal.
Are you sticking with your prediction of Tampa Bay? Are you changing up?
I think so. I think with Cromwell out, I think Tampa Bay is going to win.
Okay,
that will be my prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Over in the West, Chicago knocked out Nashville in six. Minnesota knocked out St. Louis in six. I think we both got that one wrong.
Yes.
Anaheim swept Winnipeg, which here now I have to apologize to the city and fans of the Winnipeg Jets for jinxing them and their opportunity to go out and play well against Anaheim. Not only was I wrong in that Winnipeg would win, but Boudreaux was still gainfully employed.
And you were dead wrong, given the fact that they swept the Jets.
I was in no way anywhere near accurate in that. Yeah, I'm dumb. Moving on. And Calgary knocked out Vancouver in six games. So in round two,
we each got one wrong. Well, technically, we got
Rangers right. We got Montreal right.
Right.
I said Tampa. That's not over yet.
Yeah, that's not over yet. I also said Tampa. Yeah.
Okay. We both had Chicago.
We both had them.
Both had St. Louis. Whoops.
So, yeah, we both got that wrong. And then I had Vancouver. You had Calgary.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I had Calgary, but then I had Winnipeg and you had Anaheim.
I had Anaheim, yeah.
All right, so we're doing all right.
So we're not the greatest with the West.
I'm better than I usually do.
Yeah, we're not the greatest with the West side, but, you know, East Siders, you know, we got them, you know, we'll figure out what's going on with the last one, but yeah.
All right, so in round two, we're going to see Rangers against the Capitals. We're going to see Montreal versus either Detroit or Tampa Bay, and then we're going to see Chicago and Minnesota and Anaheim and Calgary. This is an interesting story, especially with Anaheim-Calgary, in that Jonas Hiller is the goaltender for Calgary, formerly of the Anaheim Ducks. And then we have the Rangers and Capitals again for the 800 millionth time. Montreal-Detroit, I think, will be a better storyline than Montreal-Tampa Bay, but, you know, whatever. I think in the end it'll be a fun series to watch. And Chicago-Minnesota, sure.
It's
a battle between the two cities that may still have snow on the ground. I don't know.
Let's go over the West game. So let's do some predictions here. So who do you think, Calgary-Anaheim, who do you think is going to win that series?
I was so dead wrong about Anaheim before. I'm almost going to go against them again. But I think Calgary's been playing well. I think they're able to go out and knock out Vancouver. But I think Anaheim might just be on that roll. I say Anaheim in seven.
Yeah,
I want Calgary to win, but I think Anaheim's on a roll right now. I'm saying Anaheim in seven.
I'm going to have to go with Bruce again. I mean, to just completely blank the Jets, he's definitely, maybe he's changed his game up a little bit with his players. And, I bet against Calgary in the first round, so I obviously didn't think they were going to do anything anyway. But I'm going
to go against them again.
I am. I'm going to go Anaheim. I predict that Anaheim moves on to the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, here we go. This could get interesting. All right, Chicago, Minnesota. Who do you got?
I've got to go Chicago.
Minnesota surprised us.
I'm surprised Minnesota's still a part of this. I didn't see that coming in any way. And again, Chicago has all the moving parts that they need right now. I mean, Patrick Kane's back. They were having a little bit of a goalie problem.
Goaltending issues could screw them over pretty badly.
Yeah, but it seems as if they may have sort of worked out the problems. But I'm going to go Chicago. So for me, the Western Conference Final is Anaheim-Chicago. So what's your guess? Minnesota or Chicago?
I want Minnesota to win. I'm going Chicago in six.
Six? I'm probably with you there with six.
I think Chicago's got too much offense. If their goaltending can play halfway decent, I think Chicago in six. If the goaltending falls apart, Minnesota may have a chance to steal this.
All right, so we won't.
And I think Montreal beats Detroit or Tampa Bay either way.
I think Montreal moves on as well, but who knows who it'll be, Tampa Bay or Detroit.
Montreal in six versus whomever.
I bet you that one goes to a full seven.
You think seven? I can see it go seven.
I can see it going seven. Do we do predictions for Caps Rangers? I kind of feel like
No, I'm not touching that one. No.
Oh, man.
Not doing it. Not going to do it.
Oh, I want to say my prediction, but I also don't want to say my prediction.
I swear to God, if you jinx them, we will never do another show until next season.
All right. I won't say anything.
After we do our wrap up show.
Yeah. Yeah. So I won't say anything, but this has been a fun Stanley Cup playoff so far. A lot of new names I wasn't expecting. Minnesota completely just shocked me. I can't believe
they were going to get knocked out. I don't remember how many games I said, but I did not think they were going to come out of that one.
Yeah, I didn't think they were coming out. Didn't think Calgary was either, but hey, here they are. Here they are. So lots going on. So do we cover everything for this episode? Are we pretty much done here?
I think we're good to go.
All right, let's go over the Capitals TV schedule. So the Capitals will be opening up on the road in New York at Madison Square Garden up against the Rangers for round two. That game is Thursday, April 30th at 7:30, and that will be a nationally televised game, and that will be on NBC Sports. Then game two is Saturday, May 2nd. Capitals still staying up in New York. That game early start 12:30, and that one will be on NBC. Then on Monday, May 4th, the Capitals return home to the phone booth. That game is at 7:30, again NBC Sports. And then on Wednesday, May 5th, Capitals staying at home up against the Rangers, of course. They're going to just stay in D.C. and hang out for a while, too. 7:30 start, NBC Sports Network. And then if the Capitals need a Game 5, that will be on Friday, May 8th. The Capitals will be visiting New York once again. That is a 7 o'clock start, and that will be on NBC Sports. So all televised, no Joe B., you know, no Lachlan.
Yeah, that always kind of sucks. After the first round, they go with the national guys. And that really annoyed me, Game 6, where we were watching on NBCSN, and the whole broadcast was about the Islanders and the Coliseum and all that crap. Every single package in between the playing was about the goddamn Islanders and that goddamn building. Given the Capitals didn't play very well, but come on, you're supposed to be unbiased. It was pathetic. And now we got to go against the darling of the network, not named the Penguins, in the Rangers. So it's tempting. If the audio and the video would sync up, it would be so tempting to just listen to the radio and just go with John Walton and not listen to the guys and just pour over all their love over the Rangers, because it's just so effing annoying.
The Capitals really aren't very favorable with the national team.
I mean, given
team.
The Rangers are the favorite team, I get that, but come on. It's embarrassing.
Well, let's have the Capitals prove them wrong. That's what I would like to see.
I wouldn't mind.
please. So
if you want to help us out, I appreciate it, is what I'm saying.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, make sure you tweet to us. We have both very public Twitter accounts. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash.
And Coach, I'm going to make mine private now.
Don't do
just
that.
Just screw with you.
Don't do that. I can't retweet. I'm like, why isn't this working? Where can people tweet to you privately, Coach?
You can't find me. I'm hiding now. No, you can find me on Twitter at WTPCoach. And you can also occasionally find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which you need to have more of next season, because the couple I have up here are looking pretty lonely. It's time to get some more. But that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brandon Cash Entertainment?
Let me just tell you real quick about bobbleheads, okay?
Uh-oh.
I went to
What did you do?
I went to the O's game on Sunday, and I looked at just an Oriole bird bobblehead. Nothing special. Not a limited edition. Not
what
like
you looked it up.
No. I went to the game. Went to the little store, and I was like, check it out. It's an Oriole bird bobblehead. That's cool. Not a special edition. Not a limited number. Not a once a month type of thing. Just the standard Oriole bird that bobbles. And that one was $45.
Same. How much are the Caps ones?
Capitals are the same one, same amount, but they are limited. They only make like 1,000 of them for an entire month, and then once that month is gone, they go away. So it's like, you know, something special.
No, they go away to eBay.
That's true. But Slapshot and the Oriole Bird, same pricing, but I feel a little bit better with buying it for the Slapshot ones because they're, you know, like once a month, you know, it's not just like the just standard thing. It's something different, but that's my bobblehead rant.
Get him.
If you have an opinion about bobbleheads and you are on Facebook, you can like us and talk to us over there, facebook.com/WTP podcast, and check out Brando Cash Entertainment, facebook.com/Brando Cash, as well as BrandoCash.com. That's where you get all the information about this show, all the other shows and photos and videos that we do as well. Now, here's my pitch to you guys. This is the Stanley Cup playoffs. This is the perfect time to introduce your non-hockey friends to our podcast and get them all caught up in what's going on in Caps world. Tell them, hey, you know what? Playoffs, there's nothing like it. Check it out. And we can, you know, tell them what to look out for, and I think that we do a pretty good job of that. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web. Say, I'm a Caps fan. We're going into the semifinals up against the Rangers. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. The show is available on iTunes, so leave us a review there. We are also available on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Coach, this isn't really hockey talk, but I feel like we should touch on it. I just brought it up as well. Since we are on the Baltimore Sports Report, there's a lot of craziness going up in Baltimore right now. I'm a Baltimore City resident. That's where I'm recording from right now, in my basement. A lot of craziness in the world right now. A lot of stuff you don't want to see. But as we got start recording, I kind of saw that the riots from yesterday and the protests from today have kind of turned into like a musical event almost, and it seems as if people are starting to get along. So I'm happy to see that Baltimore, which is kind of, you know, a Caps fan base, I'm happy to see that Baltimore seems to be at least calming down a little bit and things are getting back to normal.
Yeah, I mean, I think both my girlfriend and I were watching the news pretty much most of yesterday when we were watching the Caps game, in terms of seeing what's going on. And we saw these things that happened all of, you know, in other parts of the country before, like Ferguson. And it's scary to see that so close to home and even in your home, basically, for you. And so it's good to see that you were safe and people we know up there are safe. And, you know, it's sort of, I don't agree with the rioting, but I can understand frustration by people. And I think that in the end, if you want to get a message across, that's not necessarily the way to go about it. But there definitely are some things that are going on in this world and in this country, especially right now, that just some things aren't right. And it seems to be happening more and more. And there needs to be some way to look into it. But I don't agree, and I don't think that rioting is necessarily the way to go. I think there are better ways to get your message across than that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Rioting is not the answer. It's not what anybody wants to see. And it's really, I don't think that a lot of those people had the had the right frame of mind, I guess, to do that, because obviously you're frustrated and you want justice for this one person, but going out and then looting a store and stealing stuff is not gonna bring him back, and it's not gonna change anything. But doing things peacefully and doing things respectfully as well. I mean, to show that. Show the world that this can be handled in a certain way in 2015. Obviously, I feel as if those peaceful protests will help get the word out about their cause and what they're trying to do. And I'm happy to see that, especially today, that there were no riots, that after the riots, today was a cleanup day. And people, I don't know if you saw this or not, but the guy who plays Bob on The Walking Dead and who was in The Wire, he flew to Baltimore today to help clean up, and he was down at that CVS that was lit on fire and was cleaning up today. So
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. So that's, it makes me proud to see that kind of stuff, because even though this was done by a group of young kids, and this was just a terrible thing to see in any neighborhood very close to home, but luckily it seems as if the bigger crowd and the more peaceful crowd is making their voice heard a little bit louder than the rioters did yesterday. So that's very good to see. But let's get back to hockey here. The Capitals are moving on to round two up against the New York Rangers. I know where I'm going to be, you know, watching game one. I'm excited for this series to go. We'll be back next week to kind of talk about the first four games maybe. And hopefully the Capitals are ready and one game away from putting the Rangers away. I'd be pretty happy. What about you for next week?
I mean, I wouldn't mind.
Wouldn't mind, exactly, yeah.
I'm okay with it, I guess.
All right, well, when the Capitals finally do come back to the phone booth after their two games up in New York, those New York fans are going to be screaming, "Can you hear us?" And we're going to be screaming, "We are louder," like we did this series. Yeah. So save up your voices till then. Don't scream too much at your TV watching the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Red Wings and Tampa Bay. Save your voice until the Capitals come back home. Say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
And, well, I just completely lost my train of thought. What was I going to say here?
Yeah.
Go
podcasting.
Yeah. Oh man,
we have outtakes this week! Yay!
We were on a roll too. Shit.
Rangers.
Okay.
Rangers.
All right. The Capitals will be opening up the round two in New York, up at Madison Square Garden, up against the Rangers. That game is on. Jesus, it's all right. They didn't put the actual days of the week on here. That messed me up. I was like, all right, what day is it today? And it's the 30th. All right. I'm back on the Caps page. All right. And if they need a game six, is that right? 1, 2, 3. That's weird. They gave a time and everything for game five.
Yeah.
Usually they just give you the first four. All right, whatever.